with all your heart.
Privilege to be here standing and doing what I love to do the most, amen, giving God glory, amen. Let's sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a
all the day long. Sing the chorus.
Oh, this is story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
Sing that song, You Deserve the Glory, key of F, I believe. Sorry.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we lift your holy name. exalt thee. We exalt thee.
Come on and sing with me now.
Oh, we exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
With all your hearts now. Make it personal now. Just sing it right to Him.
I exalt Thee.
Lift your voice to Him, saints.
I exalt Thee.
We worship You, Jesus.
I exalt Thee.
Just give You praise, Lord.
Exalt thee,
come Holy Spirit.
I exalt thee. Oh, I exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
Lord, I praise You.
Lord, I praise You.
Praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't we sing that song, I stand in all of You.
You are beautiful. Beautiful beyond description.
There we go.
Of Your love, You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. I stand in awe of You.
Like nothing ever seen. Play something softly there. We just want to take our prayer requests this morning. have several needs we want to be mindful of. Especially want to remember Brother Larry Pruitt in prayer this morning. I know he's not feeling well. Brother Larry's had a really hard time with what he's been dealing with. So let's lift him up in prayer, saints. God would bring him out of this condition. Man, want to remember the Brother John Cockman and his family. I believe they're traveling over in Europe, so let's remember them in prayer. God would bring them safely home with us. Remember your pastor in prayer, amen. He's still traveling as well. Amen, that God would bring him safely back to his destination. I'm sure he's had many adventures and will be excited to tell us of the progress of the gospel spreading over in Zambia. Amen. So let's remember that in prayer. I want to remember Sister Cindy Walter in prayer. Today she was having some anxiety attacks. Man, we know that's nothing but a demon trying to bother that sister. So let's remember her in prayer. God would deliver her. Also remember Sister Crystal Johnson. She had prayer for her brother-in-law, and she's also giving thanks to the church for those prayers. He's been released from the hospital with no heart condition. Amen. So we're thankful for that good report. And thank you for the prayers that you put forward for my wife. Amen. She's doing much better. She's here in church. And God's really touched her body and brought her through that surgery very well. And I know it's because you were all praying for her. Amen. And I want to say thank you to those who came and sat with me at the hospital. It meant a lot that you travel all that way and really just help me in that time when I didn't have to be alone in that moment. Amen. So I really appreciate what you did and the food that you brought. It was a blessing to see how everyone came together and just lifted us up with your prayers. We appreciate that. I know my wife appreciates that too. Amen. God bless you all for that. Amen. Brother Joseph, would you be willing to take these needs before the Lord for us? Amen. Also, we want to remember Brother John Anthony in prayer. I believe today is going to be his last Sunday with us. Amen. We're going to miss Brother John Anthony for a little while. Going to be going to school. And just pray that God will bless him. Amen. We'll be praying for you, brother. Brother Joseph, come now. Do you have unspoken prayer requests by uplifting of hands? And God knows your needs, friend.
It's wonderful to be here today. Let us pray. Our precious and dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the magnificent works you've done in this assembly and around the world. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. It's just It amazes me, Lord, to be able to know that people around the world, Lord, worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're thankful for our missionaries and we're thankful for our pastor that he might go and help spread the gospel and teach the truth. Lord, that is such a blessing that our little assembly, Lord, can be a part of the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we heard the petitions, Lord, the request, Lord, that has come before You. And Lord, I looked out and saw all the uplifted hands that, Lord, there's a lot of needs, Lord. There's a lot of burdens upon our hearts. But Lord, we come to You knowing You, Lord, can answer all those needs and meet that need of the hour. Lord, we're trusting and believing, Lord, that You will. Lord, the service, we have come with great expectations, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that we need You even more. We need that bread of life, Lord, as it's broken to us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it's little by little that You give us, Lord, but really it's the perfect amount that You've given us for this hour. Lord, just be with us in the entire service, Lord, and we'll give You all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. You can have your seat. Brother Keith has a special for us this morning. If he could be making his way forward at this time. We have an announcement to make. The children's choir will be practicing at 3:30. So those of you that are in the children's choir, man, be mindful that we will be having a practice at 3:30. Amen. Brother Keith.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I am, please forgive me, but I believe that as someone who is very special to me, just celebrated or would have celebrated a birthday this week, Brother Mike Canada. I just have so much love and respect for that brother. He always had something so nice to say to me every time he seen me, and he liked this song, and he had asked me to sing this song several times, and I think it's very fitting for where we are today. I can almost see the lights of that city.
John tells of a city that he saw coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. And someday we could go there through His marvelous grace, forever to live in that heavenly hope. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. With faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the light of hope. Oh, sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross seems hard to bear, oh, Satan, he tries to dim my view. I just look unto Jesus. He is standing close by. Then once again His great light comes shining through. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that that city, I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the light of hope. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of hope.
Let's all stand. We're going to take up our morning offering, have our deacons come forward at this time. Amen. I want to give ample time for the minister. We have Brother Sean Martin with us down from Virginia, and I know you'll enjoy to hear what he has to say. Amen. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer? Let's sing that song, Power of Your Love.
Lord, I come to You. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the
thing to do. Bring me near, draw me to your side. The power of your love. Amen. What a prayer. Amen. And I think that's the desire of the heart of the bride. Amen. And it's God's desire to bring us up. Amen. That's why He sent a prophet our way. And that's what He's doing to this bride, is bringing her up to where we can fly above the world and the earthbound things. And I'm glad to be a part of it. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Amen with you. And it's been a little while since we've been here, but we certainly count it an honor. Amen. To be able to stand before you and to speak the gospel. Amen. You can be seated. It was requested. Maybe I sing a song. And so we'll try it. Amen.
Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born for the valley. You were born for the sky. Don't let the trial get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for the valley, but you were born for the sky. Trial get you down, or drive your spirit in the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
How many eagles do we have?
So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for valley, but you were born for the sky. Don't let the trial get you down, or drive your spirit in the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
One more time.
So spread your wings, little eagle. Born for the valley, but you were born for the sky. Don't let the trial get you down, or drive your spirit in the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Don't let the trial get you down. Spirit in the ground, mount up with me, little eagle, and fly.
Hallelujah. How many is going to fly? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's that chorus. I'm going to rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm rise, rise above it all.
to spread my wings, fly away to heaven, rise above it all. I'm going to rise, gonna rise, rise above it all. I'm going to rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm gonna spread my wings, fly away to heaven, rise above it all.
Can you sing that with me?
Yeah, I'm going to rise.
Sing it one more time.
I'm going to rise, gonna rise, rise above it all. I'm going to rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm going to spread my wings, fly away to heaven, rise above it all. I'm gonna spread my wings and fly away to heaven, rise above it all.
Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Above it all. Amen. Are you rising? Above it, everything that Satan brings to us, amen. Well, this is the age to rise above it all, amen. If you could stand with me to the reading of God's Word, amen. We'll turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. And again, just appreciate the invitation to be able to come and speak to you this morning. And your pastor asked me to greet you all. Amen. And as he, I guess, is flying home today, or on his way, I guess be arriving tomorrow, but sounds like he's been pretty busy there and preaching the gospel. And so we're just glad for the work and his ministry and his love for the people. Amen. And just good to have my wife and our youngest son with us today, amen, and he keeps us in line, amen, little Levi, praise the Lord. But the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'm just going to read the first verse, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, if you will. Father, we just count it an honor to be here with this portion of your bride today. And Father, we realize that if you're not here with us, then our meeting is in vain. It'd just be another gathering. But Lord, we're under expectation, Lord, for you to come among us and minister, speak your word to us. Father, you placed a gift within me, Lord, to speak, and we don't take that lightly. And you placed something within your people to hear, to listen, to receive of you. And Lord, we're just asking that you'd help me just get myself out of the way and the people. Lord, just to get themselves, Lord, out of the way and any spirit that would try to hinder this morning, I pray you would drive it from this place. Lord, may we just be more anchored in you, and may our faith be elevated to a higher place. We ask these things in your lovely name, Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. You can have your seats this morning. And don't plan to keep you too long.
But this morning I want to speak on the subject of the Ephesian age. And I found that this is a great study, amen, to look into, a good subject. And I believe that we're living in one of the greatest times there ever has been known to humanity. It's now. And to believe, to be a part of that just makes me feel very humble. And we know, as the prophet said, that it's the closing out and the blending in of eternity, the closing out of time and the blending in of eternity. And so this is what the Ephesian age is about. Amen. And I don't believe that we would have ever known what an Ephesian age is about unless God sent us a prophet. And I thank the Lord every day for God sending us a prophet in this age. And even though we've not been able to meet him, or I hadn't and wasn't too young, but to be able to hear his voice. Amen. Now, you young people, all of us, we're very honored to have that. Amen. You know, Moses come and gone, and he spoke, but they didn't have his voice. That other generation, they just heard the stories. But here we get to play the tapes and hear that voice. And there's a lot of times that maybe I can't sleep, or I'm going through a mental battle or whatever, and just to play that, hear that voice of a prophet, and it just seems to settle it and drive them spirits away. So I thank God for a prophet. Amen. But this is what he said about this Ephesian age. He said, we're promised according to Revelation 10 and according to Malachi 4 and Luke 22:17 and so forth, that there's got to come an Ephesians to this, that there must. Amen. There is promised it, friends, there must come an Ephesians, that the sevenfold mysteries of the Word of God must be unfolded. And it's in the Laodicean age that this takes place. I believe that we're there. I believe we're right in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. And as Joshua, just before the Ephesians raised up, so did John the Baptist raise up just before the next Ephesians. And we're promised another Ephesians. It's predicted here in the Scriptures. Therefore, I think that we are living in the Ephesians again. Back again, we're promised that what was left off during those seven ages. Now, you cannot add anything to the book or take nothing from it. He says, Revelations 22:18 says so. Whosoever will add one word or take one word, his part will be taken from the book of life. So now we cannot add or take. So therefore, we know that Luther could not get to it. Wesley and so forth, the reformers, Knox, Finney, Calvin, on down, so forth, they didn't get it all. But what they had was the gospel truth. But now, in these last days, we are given the understanding by the Word that we are going to understand it, because it'll come an Ephesian age to it, and we are here. How many believes we're here? Amen. That's what the prophet said. We are in the Ephesian age. Amen. Now, there are different terminologies that Brother Branham uses to describe the age that we, the bride, are living in. And so you just bear with me as we just speak to you. The different terminologies, such as the bride age, the eternal age, the Ephesian age, or the free age. Age, the astronaut age, and he identifies it as being bride time or seed time, the third pull, which is the opening of the Word, the seventh seal, which is the coming of Christ, and the revealing of the Son of Man, and a lot more terminologies that he uses that speak of this Ephesian age. Amen. And so
we know that the book of Ephesians deals with the Ephesian age, and it also parallels the book of Joshua, which it means that they have the same thing in common. They're speaking about the same thing, dealing with the same, amen. And so the book of Ephesians deals or parallels with the book of Joshua. And so when we read of the events that took place in the book of Joshua, then it gives us something to look forward to in this day and this age, so we know what to expect in this Ephesian age. So we no longer look at the book of Joshua as a history book and say, oh my, what a wonderful thing God done back then. But now we bring ourselves up to date and realizing that same God is the God of today, and as they were positioned, so are we being positioned. As they come into their inheritance, so are we coming into our inheritance, and these things. And so Brother Branham said the book of Joshua is the book of Ephesians of the Old Testament. So this book of Joshua, It is the second book of redemption. Of course, Exodus is the first, but it deals with the second part of redemption. And the word redemption is to bring back to its original condition. Amen. There's something about this redemption. There's something about this Ephesian age. Amen. So the book of Joshua, dealing with the second book, second part of redemption. There's two parts to redemption, as the prophet would tell us, coming out of and entering into. The first part, coming out, and the second part, entering into. Amen? So this is what this Ephesian age is about, is entering into. We're entering into something. Amen? And so you have to leave the past behind in order to enter into, amen, the future. You have to leave all doubt behind in order to enter into faith. Amen. People want to hold on to things and try to enter in. You can't do it. That's why the message does not work. If you're trying to hold on to creeds and traditions of the past, you can't do it. Amen. Because this message is to bring us into something. And as Paul said, leaving the past behind, leaving all of those things, I press on to the mark. I press. Amen. And so you have to leave this. Now the message of the hour then has to do with entering into. It has to do. 2 Peter 1:11, it says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I believe that this message of the hour is an entrance way. It's a gateway. Amen. To coming into something. Amen. That's right. And so I looked up this word enter into, and I believe it was from Webster, but it says to go or coming in, to make a beginning, to go upon land for the purpose of taking over or to play a part, be a factor. Amen. So that's what entering into, to make a beginning. Or go upon land for the purpose of taking over, to play a part. I think this defines our role in this second part of redemption, this Ephesian age. And you remember, redemption is not complete until we enter into. It would have done them no good to come out of Egypt, except there had been a promised land. And if they failed to go into the promised land, they died. Ain't that right? We saw it. There has to be a second part to finalize this redemption. I'm glad God called me out of the world. I'm glad God called me out of traditions. I'm glad that God sent a prophet, not just to make me a church member, amen, but to open a way up. to come into. But I've got to come into it. So it's not complete until we enter into. Brother Branham said, we're entering into the greatest time this world has ever seen. God making himself manifested. Oh, entering into. Another place we're entering, where the supernatural takes place. We're leaving the natural works of man, right? And we're coming into a supernatural, a place where the supernatural takes hold, takes place. Brother Branham, in Question and Answers on the Holy Ghost, 59, speaking of Hattie Wright, said that the other day she didn't ask for nothing. She was just sitting there, but she said the right thing, which pleased the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke back and said, Hattie, ask anything that you will, whatever you got and you want. See, find out whether this is real or not. Ask anything. The healing of her little crippled sister sitting there all drawled up. $10,000 to keep her from digging on them heels over there. The youth restored to her well-run-down body. Whatever you want to ask, you ask it right now. And if it don't come and give it to you right now, then I'm a false prophet. That's something, isn't it? See, Jesus said, say to this mountain. And you've heard about what's been taking place. That's the ministry we're now entering into. Amen. Now, what did it mean for Israel to enter into that promised land? Well, for one, they were no longer wanderers. They were able to settle into a land that was rightfully theirs. They couldn't settle in Esau's land. They couldn't settle in the land of Moab. That wasn't their promise. That wasn't their land. That wasn't their inheritance. But when they came into their promised land, that was their inheritance. They were able to settle down. They were able to finally conquer and able to possess what rightfully belonged to them. It was a time of revelation to them. They didn't understand who they were. They didn't understand what their name meant. But Joshua, by inspiration, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by revelation, divided the land to them and revealed who they were. Can you say amen? See, they understood by revelation their position and were positionally placed in the land of promise. Now notice in this book of Ephesians, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. What an Ephesians. What an age we're living in. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. Can you say amen? And what is the richness of His inheritance to us? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to those who believe? I believe that this end time message is the answer to Paul's prayer. I believe that when God sent the message to us, it was God's way of giving an enlightenment to our understanding. The book of redemption being opened for you and I. Amen? Another thing, when Israel came into this land of promise, it was a time of paradox. And the prophet said paradox is something that's incredible or unexplainable, but true. Something that's almost completely out of reasoning, yet it couldn't be so, but yet it is. Now, we've seen all the way through the Bible paradox. When God created this world out of nothing, that's a paradox. God didn't take something and make a earth. He just spoke it into existence. He didn't take something and make a sun. He just spoke it, and it happened. Ain't that right? This world is a paradox. Amen. It's a paradox as to how the ark floated during the flood. It's a paradox how that a man could stand on earth and look at the sun and say, "Sun, stand still." And that sun obeyed a man's command. That's a paradox. That even today they still debate it. But we believe it. It's a paradox as to how Abraham and Sarah was changed back to their youth again. That's a paradox. But it happened. It's easy for a believer to believe these things. It's a paradox as to how that ram was spoken to existence just at the time Abraham needed it. Can you say amen? Brother Branham says, no wonder Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. What happened? The Lord spoke that ram into existence. He spoke it in existence 1 minute, and another minute it went out of existence. Oh, what is he? He is Abel. Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's God. It wasn't a vision. That lamb bled. The same God that could pull the elements together and make a body for him to live in and walk up before Abraham, that same God spoke a ram into existence, for there was a need for a sacrifice. That's a paradox. The need called for it, and God provided it and brought forth the paradox. I believe that we're living in a time of paradox. You believe that? We're living in a time of the supernatural, a paradox. Amen. It's a paradox. Amen. To see or to hear of a man. Amen. Stand there, I believe in what, Colorado? Somewhere around in that area, I believe. And speak to an oncoming storm. Amen. And speak it out of existence. That's a paradox. It's a paradox. When a man out in the woods, a man calls for squirrels when there was no squirrels, and he speaks it into existence. That is a paradox. You believe it? What's it telling us? It's telling us that the same Jehovah Jireh that spoke the lamb into existence for Abraham is the same Jehovah Jireh here to bring into existence what is needed for this age. You see what I'm saying, church? We're living in a time of Ephesian age that only in a paradox can we overcome. Only by a paradox can we overcome our mountains. It was impossible for Israel, amen, to overcome Jericho, but God provided a paradox. God provided it. Amen. Amen. This human flesh, we ain't going to overcome by that way. It's going to be a paradox. Amen. And this is where we're at. God Himself providing in this age what the denominational ages could not provide. God Himself is here today, amen, to provide what man cannot provide. Amen. I thank God for sending us a prophet, but I thank Him even more for revealing Himself in the flesh of that prophet. Can you say amen? I believe, amen, I thank God for showing Himself, amen, to be real in this age, to know that He is here, even though the prophet is gone. Yes, the prophet was a channel for the Word of God to come to. God does nothing but what He first reveals to His prophet. Ain't that right? Amen. We know these things. Amen. But just because the prophet's gone does not mean that God ain't here. That same Jehovah Jireh is here today with His bride. Now, we find the revealing of the Son of Man has revealed to us not a theologian, not just a preacher or a prophet, but it's revealed to us God Himself in His redemptive attributes. Amen. Now, I hope we make sense to you today. But let's look at it. We're in the second part of redemption. Redemption, there's a need. There's a need. Redemption is calling for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Redemption is calling for a bride that's been justified. Redemption is calling for the manifestation of the sons of God. Redemption is calling for a change from what has been. Can you say amen? And it's going to take a paradox to meet the need and the challenge of this age, of the hour. Amen. Another thing, only when they went into the promised land did they partake of the promises of God. Amen. No longer do they have to wish for them to come true. No longer do they have to sing, "He's coming, He's coming, He's coming back again." It was reality. Right? Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. When they come into the promises, when they come into the promised land, they were partaking of the unfailing realities of God's promises. Oh my. Isn't that awesome? That's what this vision age is about to us today. Amen. This scripture was being fulfilled. That scripture was being fulfilled. This prophecy was being fulfilled. All the prophecies concerning the promised land was being fulfilled right before them. They were partaking of it. They had come into the manifestation of what had been promised to them. Amen. Just think of it. God's word was being vindicated before them and to them. For 400 years, or over 400 years, they had been dwelling in a land that wasn't theirs. But notice, they didn't own the land, and the land didn't own them. Pharaoh did not own them slaves. Isn't that awesome? No much power he had. He was a superpower. That nation was a superpower. But he didn't own them. Because they had a promise. Amen. They were under a promise to come out of and to enter into what was given to them. That land was predestinated to them. They had talked about it. They had sung about it. They had preached about it. They had done all these things. See, I thought of just like the Israel, you know, the Jews and you know, Dad was telling me the other day of a book and that he had read and how that, you know, before Israel become a nation, their Jews would be so persuaded and look for the restoration and look going back to their homeland. And they had this saying, "Tamara, Jerusalem, Tamara, Jerusalem." They would sing it. They would talk to their children and their families, "Tamara, Jerusalem." And then the children would grow up and the dad would maybe pass away. But they would now, the children telling their children, "Tamara, Jerusalem." But look at it today. They don't have to sit around saying, "Tamara, Jerusalem, Tamara, Jerusalem." They're sitting smack dab where God had promised them. It's a promised land. It's a promised land. You think of it. As long as they were in Egypt, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow, we're coming out. Tomorrow, you don't have to be beaten anymore. Tomorrow, you're not going to be a slave anymore." And they kept passing that down through every generation. But one day a generation arose and said, "This is it. No longer do we have to say to Myra, children, look around you. This is what God had promised." No longer slaves. Prophecy was fulfilled before them. Can you say amen? Just as Israel was a natural people that entered into a natural land that was predestinated to them, we being a spiritual land, people have a spiritual land that has been predestinated to us. And I say to you, we're living in a time where God's word has been vindicated to us and is being continually vindicated to us and by us. By us. Can you say amen? God promised to send us Elijah the prophet. That has been fulfilled. Can you say amen? God promised, amen, that the sign of the Messiah would be done today in this age. That has been fulfilled. God promised that the Lamb would come and take the book and open them seals. That has been fulfilled. There's so many things that's been fulfilled in this day. God promised that the sons of God would be manifested. And I say to you, they are being manifested. They are. You love Him? God promised through the life of Ruth and Rahab the harlot that there would be a destitute woman who would find favor with God and would come to a position. That's fulfilled today. That's you and I. Amen? Also, the Bible promises that there will be an eighth day. And don't block me out yet, because we're not crazy. But Brother Branham preached on an eighth day. We wouldn't even know an eighth day, except God would send a prophet to place that eighth day. There is an eighth day. We know there are only 7 days in a week. So the eighth day, in all reality, takes us back to the first day again. And Brother Branham speaks of this. He says it was on the eighth day that Jesus raised from the dead. The eighth day, resurrection. In the message, it is the rising of the sun, 65. He said, what a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. It was on the eighth day that the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. He says that the eighth day deals with new creation, whereas 7 days deal with old creation. Amen? We know that there is an eighth day coming for this world. For John saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things were passed away. See, you can't come into something new until the old is passed away. Can you say amen? That's right. He also saw a new city coming down from heaven. Now, we know this doesn't happen until after the millennium, because we are still in a time element during that period. Ain't that right? But what is it speaking of? The final stage of redemption. A new earth. A new heaven. A new world. A new kingdom. And the former things are passed away. They'll be no more remembered. What a day that's going to be. Can you say amen? Now, Brother Random said, see, it's only the atmospheres around it and the sin that's upon the earth that will be destroyed. And now we realize that the heavens means atmospheres above. What does it do? If then these thistles and sickness and death and politics and sinful man and sinful woman and evil spirits will all be gone away and annihilated. It has to be done that way because we're going to live right here. See, we'll prove that by the Bible. Right here is where we live. Amen. Notice thistles and germs, all sickness and things will be completely taken away. All this, its existence that's in the earth. Now, man-made systems and politics and sin, all kinds of evil spirits that the world is contaminated with. And all the heavens above us in here is contaminated with evil spirits. He says, see, we're going to go deep and long in this. See, all this exists in the heavens or atmospheres and the earth, which is now. This earth holds these things. But it wasn't made for that purpose. Amen. Just like Israel was slaves to Pharaoh, but they weren't made to be that. Oh my. Wasn't made for that purpose. Sin, everybody say sin, caused it to be that. Sin caused the shooting that we saw yesterday and this morning or last night. Sin is bringing these things on. But people wasn't made to be that way. This earth wasn't made to be contaminated with evil spirits. He says, now the whole earth is God's creation, but it's lost. Then He redeems this earth and you're part of the earth, and He redeems you by the same way He redeems this whole earth. Think of it. How does He redeem this whole of this earth? A new heaven and a new earth. That's the redemption. That's the final redemption. No more sin. The former things are passed away. And He does you by the same way He does this earth. The same power of redemption that's going to bring on a new earth and a new heaven and destroy everything. All the sin and the filth is the same power of redemption that's working on you. Why? You weren't made to be a sinner. You weren't made to die. You weren't made to be sick. You weren't made to lie and to steal and whatever. You weren't made to be a slave to the devil. Sin made you that way. Do you believe that? Sin made you that way. But look, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Aren't you glad it reads it that way? You could say, well, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a church member. If any man be in Christ, he goes to seminary to learn about God. He becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remember, Brother Ram said we're not speaking of annihilation, right? But simply changing from one form to another, or from one condition to another. Amen. Now notice, he said you're the same man in stature that you was when God called you, the same woman. But you see what it did? It was a regeneration. The old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. When you used to like to drink, cuss, fuss, stew, and run around, and immoral, and that thing just died. But now you are you. See, then you were Satan's instrument. Now you are redeemed. That's what the world will be, the same way, redeemed, a new heaven and a new earth, just like you are a new creature. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, a new creation in the same old temple. So you don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a new creation. This is an Ephesians now. This is the second part of redemption. Something's happened within you. Same old body, but something's new. And the old is passed away. Old things are past. Also, Brother Branham uses some words for this passed away. And I hope this is okay this morning. But he uses words that go with it, such as regenerated or changed or loosed. Old things are passed away. In other words, there's a changing, a loosening. So it the same meaning was used when Jesus said, loose the coat and bring him. See? He told the people who were at Lazarus' grave to loose him and let him go. For he was bound, the Bible says he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. So loosing. He said, see, Brother Brown says, see, what does it mean? The earth will be loose from the grip of Satan. It will be loose from politics. It'll be loose from denominational religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God to be established here on the earth. But as long as it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belonged to him, but now Christ has redeemed it. See, one time I was his property, but not now. One time that little woman was his property, but not now. He come to loose the grip of it. I hope it sinks into your heart tonight, today. He come to loose the grip of it. See, that's what redemption is. See, he says, he loosed the grip of sin, of Satan upon my life, upon your life, and now we're not his. You're not a slave to him anymore. This is an Ephesian age. He says, have you often heard me say in prayer, take your hands off of God's property. Have faith to claim your own. That's your right. Take your hands off of her. Take your hands off of him. See, faith will do it. See, oh my, not annihilate it, but just take your hands off of it. To loose it and let it go. Pass it away and it changes. The earth will change. Politics will change. The religions will change. The denominations will pass away. Politics will pass away. The kingdom of God shall be established. What a paradox. Now we believe that to be true because we see what's happening in our lives. And you say amen. Now you think of that. Brother Branham had that dream. And people in prison. Help us, Brother Branham. It said, help us, help us. One person said, loose them people. Right? Help them people or something to that effect. And he's like, well, how can I do it? And then that voice said, loose them people. And he's looking around and finally just says, house of hell, give way. In the name of the Lord. Give way. What was it? Redemption. Speaking of our redemption. Give way in the name of the Lord. That's the power of this message to the believer. You believe that? You don't have to sit there just bound in sin. You don't have to sit in the church and be all depressed and oppressed by the devil. This is redemption. This is a time that we're taking over. Everything that belongs to us, that was taken away from us, now belongs in your hands, you know. It's in your hands, church. Now, you know, Isaiah 59:19, breaking in, says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, if you understand that, that's a prophecy for us today. This is the greatest hour of deception. This is the greatest age of deceit. The most evil age ever. God knew it would be coming. And yet he said when the enemy would come in like a flood, when all hell would be opened up and every demon of hell would be released in this age, the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard. Notice what that standard is. The prophet said, see, sin wasn't known then like it is now. And when we got more knowledge now than we had then, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. Now today we've got more knowledge, more understanding, so the rivers of unbelief is flowing in hard, but God raises a standard against it. He says, how does he do it? By bringing his word more positive all the time. How's he doing it? Making his word more positive to you all the time. It ain't by knowing the Bible. It isn't by quoting every quote. It's by the word being made real to you all the time. More all the time. To where it's no longer, it's not just being history. It's not just a fiction. You know, oh yeah, we believe it. You know, mentally we can believe it. Mentally. We can say, oh, this is right. But that's got to go beyond that to where this Bible becomes a personal book. And you see yourself in the promises of God and it's becoming more real to you, more unfolding to you. That's how God raises the standard against the enemy. You see, the rivers of unbelief are coming in. How many fights unbelief? Okay, take your halos off. How many really fights unbelief? Oh, sure, we fight unbelief.
There's times that Satan will come into our mind and say, oh, that message ain't true. You know, he's just making that up. Or you've probably heard somebody, you know, say that the Church Age book ain't right. And all that. I used to have issues with that one, you know. I've heard, you know, when I first come into this message, someone stood up and said, well, Brother Brown said this about the Church Age book and all that. And that really plagued me. And I fought that and fought that and fought that, you know. And finally I said, Lord, I need deliverance of this thing, you know, because I know Brother Brown said it, but that spirit just kept coming in. And finally, an evangelist come to our church one time several years back, and as he's preaching, he just stopped and said, I'm going to tell you, this Church Age book is inspired of God. It was the prophet's book, and Satan is a liar. That spirit left me. But what is it? It's spirits of unbelief. Spirits of unbelief. I bet you fight a lot, but you ain't going to make it in a rapture. You ain't gonna make this, and the promises you just, and Satan magnifies your natural condition of your failure here, and you've done this, and you're carnal here, and I don't know if y'all's ever had it, this preacher does. We fight them things. It's the spirits of unbelief that doesn't mean he owns you. He doesn't own you. Can you say amen? God raises a standard. By making His Word more real to you. You believe that? He just makes His Word more real all the time. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians 2 and 1, and then we'll go on down from there. And you ask, He quickened who were. Everybody say, I was dead. See, who were past tense, dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, it no longer works in you because you've come under a headship. You're coming into this efficient age of redemption. How can you be in the pawn shop and out of the pawn shop at the same time? Brother Rand said, you never see no white blackbird, drunk sober man, and you never seen a Christian and sinner at the same time. You're either a Christian or you're not. Either God saved you or He didn't. Either He filled you with the Holy Ghost or He didn't. And if He ever filled you with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter how negative you are. It doesn't matter all these negative thoughts. You're still sealed with the Holy Ghost. God doesn't give you the Holy Ghost and then give it to you today and take it tomorrow. You're sealed with it. You believe it? So now look at it. This is our age. This is the Ephesian age. So I'm trusting you can experience this and you can say, yep, that's me. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Did you ever walk according to the course of this world? But you don't do it today. But now don't let the devil say, well, yeah, but you fell and you made a mistake. That's not walking according to the course of this world. Totally different. Among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together. How many believes you've been raised? And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you, what is it that's been quickened? Now, sometimes, you know, we get this far thought that if I'm quickened, you know, then I ain't going to be tired. I ain't going to have battles. I'm not going to be discouraged. Have you ever just dealt with them things? Yeah, me too. But let me ask you, what's been quickened? It isn't your flesh that's been quickened. It's the Word that's been quickened. See, there's a seed word in you that's been quickened. You can't be a Christian without that word being quickened. You can try,
You can go to be a legalist all you want. I've been there. Been around them. Have your long sleeve just right. No, you know, no sideburns, no beard, mustache, none of that. No certain colors. No certain types of this and that. No having your hair parted in the middle. Everybody's just right. No rings, no watches. You ought to be certain kind of watches. That's legalism. But it doesn't quicken the flesh. It doesn't quicken you to be a Christian. It only makes a bigger hypocrite. Can you say amen? It's like someone said, you know, says, you know, when I go into the motel room, I always put a blanket over that TV. But it sure gets hot under there. Some of you get it tomorrow. But that's what it is when you become a legalist. Everything is just, I mean, you know, people in the message ought to be happy. Free. Instead, we're just like, but see, it's the word that's been quickened. See, it doesn't change you into Superman. It doesn't change you to looking like princes, you know. Woo-hoo. It doesn't change you in that way. It still may be the old ugly you. I mean, when I got quickened, it didn't make me lose weight. I still had to go on a diet. It still didn't keep my hair from, you know, it's starting to fall out. But that's not what's been quickened. It's the seed that's been quickened. Can you say amen? It's the word, and that word is a predestinated seed inside of you. Remember the book of Genesis, God said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. The apple seed brings forth apples. Orange seed brings forth oranges. And a son of God brings forth sons of God. Can you say amen? And the word seed brings forth every promise of God that God made for this age. Do you believe it? Now, Brother Branham called this word seed a predestinated seed. And he said the Lord Jesus Christ with his transforming power planted a seed by predestination. Now I want to hurry up. I know I'm keeping you a little long. So let's hurry. What does predestination deal with? This old body? Well, in one sense, yeah, but it doesn't keep this from decaying. Doesn't keep everything from sagging. Used to, you know, the heel was up here, now it's down here, you know. Predestination deals with what God thought of you and ordained you to be. This is what the Ephesian age is. It's dealing with what God thought of you from the foundation of the world. Think of that real close. That's the seed. That's the eternal part of you. Brother Ram said God's thoughts is as eternal as God is. His thoughts, everybody say, his thoughts are eternal. Do you believe that? They are eternal as God is. That ain't skim milk, brother, he says. Here it comes. God's thoughts was his word in the beginning. That's in eternity. Now, when beginning first started time, he said, in the beginning was the word, God's thoughts, and the word was with God. The word was God. His thoughts is what he was. Did you know Brother Branham said God's thoughts is the true Christian of today? Now, when I read that, I just had to get up and do a jig. God's thoughts is the Christian of today. See, we've had denominations make Christians. We've had legalists make Christians. We've had them all make Christians. But in this age, it's God's thoughts What does it mean I'm a Christian? I'm God's thoughts. What God thought as a Christian today is what I am. Notice, he said, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Everyone wants the Holy Ghost. Now think of that. It was in God's thoughts before you were born to give you the Holy Ghost. So I'll say to this, for those that are really seeking the Holy Ghost, you don't have to beg Him for it. You don't have to demand Him for it. You don't have to plead. It was in God's thoughts before the foundation of the world to give it to you. God so desires to give it to you. You don't have to beg Him for deliverance. It's God's thoughts to give you deliverance. You don't have to beg Him for anything. It's God's thoughts. You're coming into God's thinking. All of His thoughts are promises. And you're coming into the reality of promises. So He says, see, it was in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost because He knew you'd be wanting it. And He chose you Himself because you desired. See, He chose you in Christ before you or Jesus, any of you, was on the earth. And He sent Jesus to die to prepare the way, to send the Holy Ghost, to bring you to Himself. Oh, do you love Him? Isn't He wonderful? So here, I want to read another place. He says, now we are a part of God. You always was. You don't remember it because you were only an attribute in God. You were only in His thinking. Your very name, if it was ever on the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew what you were. He said, I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out that we might get away from this fear and scare. You see what the prophet's doing? You know why God sent a prophet? To get you and I away from the fear and the scare. He's wanting to place you, position you in the promise. Praise the Lord. You love Him? You don't know who you are. You're not going to be. Everybody say, I'm not going to be. But you are now the sons of God. See, you always were the sons of God. See, God in this vision age, He's doing something in this age that He's never done. And that's to reveal His own thoughts. Because the promises come from Him. It's His thoughts concerning you. Right? So what good is it to do? What good would it be to go into the promised land and there's no promises? Everything that God promised ain't there. Then you couldn't identify it as being the promised land. But God's the one that said there'd be milk and honey. God told them what would be in the land. So when they get in the land, there it is. It's all around them. Well, if we're in our land, and then we don't know the promises, we're still fighting this and wondering this and wondering that. But then here God sends a prophet, says, you know what? You are justified. Justified? Yeah, and then he explains what justified is. As though you never did it in the beginning. He's dealing with your predestination. Not your birth. Not your natural genes. Not your natural inheritance. He's dealing with your spiritual gene. Dealing with your spiritual roots. In there you never did it in the first place. There you were always holy. There you were always a saint. Praise the Lord. You just come born the wrong way. You come born hybrid. And you were a slave to the devil. But the devil didn't own you. Because there was a land predestinated for you. And that seed gene was laying in you all that time. All that time. Here you were burdened down with traditions. You were burdened down with creeds. You were burdened down with natural genealogy. You know, Brother Bram said, my dad was a drunk. I would have been a drunk. What changed it? God produced the paradox. Amen? Remember you talking about that German boy? Wanted to marry that girl and he was acting like an idiot. Hope that's okay to say. Mom and dad was Christian. And he began to look, and he's talking to the dad and mom, and said, well, now see, you, dad, look at your family, you da-da-da-da-da, this is the way you were, but look, now you're saved. That's what changed you from them. And he looked at his mom and said, mom, you were Germans. He said, all your sisters are stuck up. They're very just... He said, you say hi to them, and... He said, but look at you, you're different, you're sweet, you're kind. He said, what happened? The Holy Ghost got a hold of you. What is it? God produced the paradox. Amen? It's the only way, church. How can we lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt? How can we praise Him? You know, it's just, and I know, you know, if the musicians will come, I got a long ways to go, but we'll wrap it up. Musicians, you can come, give us hope. But you know, communion. Catholics take it mass. And they do it, the prophet said, they take it hoping to be saved. It's all hoping. I desire. I hope I'm forgiven. I'll take it in hopes He accepts me. But He says that's not the way to do it. He said, us Protestants, we take it with thanksgiving. Thanking God that we're saved. Thanking Him for the blood. Thanking Him for the Word. Thanking Him that we are partakers of His body. We are partakers of His Word. We are partakers of His blood. We are justified. Therefore, we can take communion, lifting up our hands and worshiping the Lord and praising Him. Our whole life has been changed. We're actually partaking of the promises of God. And if you aren't partaking of it today, I pray God gets a hold of you so bad, so good, so much, to where this book, this Bible, this message becomes a living reality to you. Brother Branham didn't preach to make us educated in quotes. He opened the promised land to us. And if you go look in that dream that he had, he talks about him, I think, walking through Palestine or whatever. And he says, I'm walking on this map. And he said, you know, he says, I come. And he said, and I look back and I found out I was 2/3 of the way. I'd come 2/3. And he says, but I had to cross the river. And he said, it was over there beyond the river where all the promises laid. In other words, what he was saying, we've come through the first and the second pool, and now there's the third pool we're entering into. This was before the opening of the seals. This was in, I think, Paradox 62, if I'm not mistaken. But he says, and all the promises laid beyond the river. Now, church, you understand what he was saying. He was looking for the opening of the Word to be opened to us. It would be where the promises would lay for us. And church, if we're sitting here and we're looking for some excitement, and we're looking, if you're looking for Brother Branham to come back and preach another sermon, I think you're looking at it wrong. He may not, I don't know. I'm not even going to argue with that. But I'm telling you, these promises are made real in this age to you right now. You don't need Him to come and open up something else to us. You can have revival now. You can have it in your soul. Amen. You love Him? Amen. Can we just sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine? I guess you know that one.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. It is love divine. Every promise. Oh, sing it now. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book. Oh, sing it again. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter. Every promise in the book. Sing it one more time. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Sing that song, I'm going to rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm going to rise, going to rise, rise above it all. I'm going to spread my wings, fly away to heaven, rise above it all. Can we sing it all together now? I'm going to rise. Oh, rise. Hallelujah, I'm going to rise. God bless you.
Rise above it all.
Once again now.
I'm gonna rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm gonna rise, rise, rise above it all. I'm gonna spread my wings and fly away to heaven and rise above it all. I'm gonna keep pressing.
Let's sing that song. I'm gonna keep pressing on.
I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, Satan tries to stop me, turn me. There's no need for you to go on. Why do you even try? And even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. I just say, Satan, it only proves you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh yes, I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on.
hope that's your desire. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Sean, we appreciate you, brother. Amen. I know that message spoke to my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to ask the minister if he'd come forward. We'd like to lay hands on Brother John Anthony. Have a special word of prayer. Deacons, the elders of the church, if you'd make your way forward and have some prayer over Brother John Anthony. I know he's going. He wants to get those pilot wings. Amen. But we want to put a set of angel wings on his back. Amen. Amen. Come forward, deacons. Brother Sean. Yeah, you can. We'll just have a word of prayer over Brother John Anthony. Amen. Amen. And you just pray with us. As you go sing that song, I'm a new creation, a brand new man.
I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah, He redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again. All received again.
hearts agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet, and whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and at the name of Jesus Satan has to flee, 'cause we've got the power. But the bride of Jesus, Lord, is still alive. And like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle, 'cause the Lord's on our side.